Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accept It As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accept It As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accept It As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking this time for yourself and taking this time for some introspection and some self-love, knowing that, and when you do that, when you take even a few minutes a day or this, if you listen to even some of this show, it's a time to remove your mind from all those stories and subcategories and conferences and conversations that it's having with other people and tomorrow and what you need to do, and allow yourself to really be here, be in this moment, and come into a greater love, a greater awareness. And even the word greater is kind of a misnomer. It's in a sense just coming back to yourself, coming back to home, coming back to that center that, gosh, we can lose so easily, can't we? It's like, how did I, wait a minute, how did I get, what? Oh. And I was pondering that for this morning, for today's show, and for yesterday, about how we do this dance, and every person does, of between that feeling like we got it and then feeling like we don't got it. And the only difference between someone who does that dance in a state of joy versus not is their level of mindfulness, self-love, and forgiveness. And I almost could put forgiveness and self-love in between the mindfulness, because it's not so great to be mindful if you're noticing your body sensations, your present moment, what's really going on in you in this second. It's not really beneficial to notice that if you're going to do it and beat the crap out of yourself. So before we get into that topic, let's all join each other in the breath, knowing that, as Einstein has said, there's only one mind. I think Penny put that in the last Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. She puts really nice quotes throughout, and I saw that quote, and it stuck with me, that there's only one mind. In all the universe, there's only one mind. And so we join each other into that one mind in our breath. And we remember that we're always starting from a place of wholeness. Always starting in this moment, right now, in this radio show, this meditation, this session that you and I are having as a group. Remember that creation, God, is everywhere in its fullness and not in one place. That there is no lack. There is no not enoughness. And that our brains, my brain, your brain, is addicted to those ways of thinking. And so we unhook all those addictions in this moment, coming back and welcoming our awareness, welcoming together that we are whole right now, and we are uncovering and discovering that wholeness. Take a few more breaths. And we also remember together, we welcome the awareness because it's there. We just need to bring it up or water it with our attention. that there's an order or a harmony that's working in our life, and that even if we feel like it's in complete chaos and can't really see why these things are happening the way they are, if we get calm enough and still enough, the understanding will come. That we may not like the plan. You know, you may not like what's happening in your life right now, but it's all on schedule. So welcoming together that awareness that there's an order or a harmony that's happening. There you go. And just again, let's come back to mindfulness for a second with forgiveness, with compassion of the body sensations that are happening. And body sensations are like tingling, hot, sometimes even a state of, oh, I can't feel anything. Notice what your feet and your legs are feeling. There you go. Noticing how your belly feels. Good. And really take a breath into the lower half of your body. And give yourself a little bit more permission to let go. There you go. Remembering that as we let go to who and what we already are. As we let go, it organically, naturally allows ourselves to rise above this limited reality that we've created. That reality is always a matter of our perception and our beliefs. And that's not to take that statement lightly, that whatever lens cap is over my eyeballs or my perception, not literally my eyeballs, of course, but that's what I'm going to see. You know, that I love when Deepak Chopra presents and tries to get people to see that how they're seeing things isn't so solid and so real. And he talks about how some insects see, and they actually have 50 realities that they're seeing, 50 different views that they're actually taking in. And that turtles, I don't know if you know, turtles actually see in 4D. So not being so attached to what we see in the physical and we see with our senses, although our senses are important. Of course, it also is one of my favorite quotes that never, it's so potent. I use it for myself a lot. And when I offer it in an article or in one of my books, it just amazes me. And it is, I'm willing to see all this differently. And then you soften your breath and you soften your belly. And then maybe your mind is still having a conversation with all the committees and what's going on in you or in the world or bemoaning your neighbor or the world. And you really begin to notice that, right? That really insidious negative talk that's within us all, by the way. And I love the Course in Miracles. It calls it the attack mind. Attacking yourself, attacking others. We all have it. So it's not like, oh my gosh, this is in me, and oh my gosh, I'm such a bad person. There's no bad in you. There's no bad in me. Could you look into a baby's eyes and call it bad? Could you look into a little puppy and call it evil or bad? We get confused, no doubt. You know, the Greek word for sin is to miss the mark. But if we miss the mark or we trip, doesn't mean we are fundamentally bad or evil. In fact, the belief that there's some fundamental badness in us or evil or sin is the very thing that keeps us from spiritually growing. Because if you believe there's some bad in you or sinfulness or evil, you really can't look at these scary parts of yourself. For instance, this one piece, the committee of negative self-talk, or maybe you have a perception, a belief that around money or around God or sex or your wife or your husband or your partner, that you really can't admit it's there if you believe you're sinful or bad. So I'm not, you know, I can't say I know the full reason of why that belief system is in the planet, of how we got to a place where we started believing that there's something separate from love, something separate from God within us. You know, some quote the evolutionists of we needed the ego to discern the difference between the tiger and the fire, and that separation then just got rampant. Some say that we need that chaos, we need that contrast. That we, if we didn't have this belief in separation, or there was bad or evil in us, or chaos in the world, or something separate from God, we wouldn't be on this uncovery of more God. And then, of course, there's some people that believe that this is just a big test, right? If, you know, all this badness is here because they got to test themselves to be positive, and if they earn enough stripes, they'll make their way into heaven, and that heaven is something that's in the future, not something that's now. For me, I tend to see a mixture of the latter, of the first two, that there's a chaos. The chaos is here because it's part of the deliciousness of humanity, of coming into more love, more beauty, more God. And that, I can't remember what the first thing was, but it'll come back to me. Oh, the separation, the ego. That the ego is there, always labeling, discerning, categorizing the mind, the mechanistic part of our brain that wants to always put a label on something, even when it's detrimental to ourselves or another person. You know, once we label something, of course, then we don't stay in the fertility of the question. We don't stay in the unknown, and of course, our mind will do anything to avoid the fertility of the unknown, or the infinite potential of spaciousness, which is where meditation comes in, right? So looking at this mind that's hyper-vigilant, and how it tries to keep us separate, and it can really add to those committees of not enoughness in our brain, or I got to figure this out. Isn't it always a paradox that the more you try to figure something out from that kind of energy, you don't actually figure it out? Oh, man. I love that. I want to look up her name before I actually quote her, because a few quotes that I love studying. I backtracking a bit, I finally graduated from Naropa, and with a degree, and always a joke is a degree in something that I've already been doing for 10 years. But in essence, it was so much more than that. It was really about my own personal transformation, and about really being given another language that I could provide in communicating the power of self-love. I think what I really came to understand is how and more and more understanding of how much we resist love. We do not, I mean, myself included, I'm not that there are so many ways that we trick ourselves in staying in the current, not only current paradigm, but current structures. And so I'm really grateful for my graduation from Europa. My whole family went out there, my dad, my stepmom, and my mom, and my sister. It was incredible support. And my whole family really showed up with incredible love. I'm really grateful. And it has to do with a lot of the healing that I've done, my sister's done. We really, you know, because my family's not perfect. No family is perfect. And I've got some pretty heavy-duty stuff I've endured in my own childhood. However, the month that I've done tons of healing with that, and life will always bring up the next thing for you. And if you're not aware that soul growth isn't linear, you think, okay, I'm going to deal with this issue and I'm done. Good luck with that. Because once something comes up again, you're going to think you failed. You're going to think you did something wrong. And remembering, it's like we're all that is it Michelangelo? I'll have to look that one up too, but that said he saw the what he was going to sculpt, he saw it in the block of stone. It was already there. He just had to remove the excess. And life in God is the same way, that we're constantly being sculpted like that. So a month and a half prior to my graduation, I got to revisit some times in my life where I wasn't protected, where there was some emotional and physical trauma, and got to really see at another level the pain that was there, and of course transmute that pain by feeling it, by being present with it. And of course, I you know, we never do anything alone, by the way. In fact, if you don't have, I am incredibly resilient on spirit and angels, but I also realize that we're meant to have support, meaning if you don't have a mentor or a therapist that you work with, if you really want to have both, right? Why wouldn't you? It's so confusing to me to see, well, I know why. We see letting ourselves be supported as weakness because, it keeps us in that old, that paradigm when we're afraid to let ourselves be loved. So I know it's not that confusing. But I really see people that are genuinely in their body and peaceful and happy. Get yourself a counselor. Of course, continue to open to a circle of friends and let nature support you, let God support you, let all those areas of support, let physical and non-physical, human and non-human support you. Why wouldn't you? So anyways, my point in that is I worked with a therapist and also did a lot of ceremony in nature. I think I had mentioned this a while back that when I was in the process of that, I had a black ferret in the middle of Mayberry Woods come walking in front of me. Black ferret. I didn't even know I could exist in the woods. Not only that, it was carrying a rabbit, dead rabbit. So all sorts of symbology there and all sorts of just magic. And as I was walking up the trail, because life is magic, love is magic, walking up the trail, the hawk came down and visited me. It went like 10 feet above my head. So I'd done all that work prior to Naropa, and when my family showed up to love me, I was able to really be with that I didn't push it away, because, you know, we'll only really receive the love that we have become. Do you hear what I'm saying? We'll only receive or see the love that we've become. And the pain, we can grow through joy and inspiration, absolutely. But the pain is also the very fertilizer that allows us to come into the next expansion, because if that love, that light comes in and it touches a pain part that we haven't become aware of, what are we going to do to that love, right? We're going to push it away. And we'll make some really convincing stories in our head of why we're not, why that love isn't safe or why it doesn't feel right. So my dad, he stood up, and when he stood up in the smaller ceremony on Saturday, he said, if you have something to say, when you say in the martial arts, if you have something to say, you stand up. So he stood up. And this is a small ceremony on Saturday, about 30 people or 25, I'm not for sure. And the reason why it was so small is because out of the 12 people, I believe only 4 graduated. Only 3 were able to make it. Another 4, they needed to extend it a year. And another 4, they did something else, or they didn't complete. And it's really because Naropa's program is so internally transformational as well as academically challenging. So I was grateful. You know, we all made it. We're there. And he stood up, said, if you have something to say. And he looks me in the eyes, and he's looking at everybody. He says, yeah, my daughter, back in the day, she would, when we had tournaments, she would take home more trophies than me. And I don't know if that's really true, but I get what he was trying to say, of really acknowledging me and honoring me. And he says, and a warrior is one that has both yin and yang in them. And he's crying now, which, how beautiful is that? And he does this, you know, the fist bump. He does that fist bump in the air, because now he can't even say the yin part about me. You know, like I've got the yin, I had the yang, and he does this fist bump in the air. And oh my gosh, everybody, it was just, it was life-changing for me. I love to talk about that moment. I love to reflect on it. And I'm grateful because I can really see how if I hadn't done all that work prior, that wouldn't have been possible. I could have made a complete, there was plenty of things I could have made another story about that. Really. And I don't, you know, I could have said something like, oh, well, he's talking about karate. Why is he talking about me? Or da 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 da. Right? I could have gone anywhere with that. So the quotes I was going to say earlier about hypervigilance, it's by Nicole Daedon. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right. Daedone. She's pioneering an empathic sacred sexuality methodology called One Taste. It's kind of controversial, but it's a powerful process, very simple. I'm always one that loves simple and powerful. And if you would like more simple process for more body connection, empathy, sexual acceptance in your body, you can look her up. So I just wanted to put her on people's radar as well. Great work, and always use your discernment, of course. But she has a quote about, she calls the ego the vigilant center. And she goes, you know, it's the part of you that says you can have pleasure, just not right now. Or it's the part of you, part of ourself, that says something's wrong with you, I'm just not going to tell you what it is. Do you ever know that mind separate from God, ego, or vigilant center, she's calling it, that will say that, like, okay, something's wrong with me. I just don't know what it is. I just got to figure it out, right? Just got to figure it out. That cracks me up because that fixing mind is so, I mean, one of the things that really draws people to my work, to self-acceptance, is because it's acceptance, right? A lot of self-improvement, really anything, because I don't want to make any one thing wrong, but you can approach anything from an energy of fixing, right? If I just figure this out, then I'm going to accept myself. If I just lose some more weight, I'm going to accept myself. If I just fix this relationship issue, and that fixing mind believes that, you know, it's like there's something wrong with you that are wrong with myself, and that mind is there. And if I just get this figured out, then I'm going to finally relax. And I'm going to finally relax. You may or may not have heard that statement, seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added to you. And that statement, of course, it can mean different things to different people, but what it means to me is that God, to me, is relaxation, right? I'm trusting, I'm relaxed. I'm not waiting to, I'm not putting my joy, my heaven on the layaway plan that one day I'll have. That when I look at this situation, I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to relax now. I'm going to accept myself now. I'm going to let go now. And I know, sweet one, listening and sweet ones listening in the future, even though you're listening at the perfect time, whether you're listening to this a month after it was recorded or years after it's recorded, it applies to you. If you're listening, there's a reason you're listening to this. What would it be like to invite that letting go now? Accepting yourself now. So would you like to do a process with me? Great. So, as always, we need your body. We need you to get grounded. Otherwise, this is not going to have the same effect. Just noticing the sensations in your lower half, in your feet, and in your legs. Even noticing if those sensations are painful. Noticing whatever is there and just breathing. Take another breath. Now be light about this, right? There's no bad, there's no evil, there's no wrong within you. Let yourself be curious about all this, not overly serious. and know that this is just a process of uncovering and discovering what's already there, right? So either out loud or with a piece of, you know, if you can, you might want to get those that you have a really racy mind, like you just like no breaks in your mind whatsoever, even if after you've run through 3 miles or walked in nature, your mind's still going a mile a minute, you may want to get a piece of paper and a pen. And a pencil, of course. So you can write this out as we do it. I'll wait for you to get the pen and the paper. Or you can say it out loud. That would be helpful to keep you focused, right? But if neither of those two are options right now, you can do it inside yourself. But again, that's why we write. That's why you journal. That's why you write your prayers down. To help get the mind focused. It's not that paper has really any power over you. Usually when people say they don't want to journal, it's really a sign that they like to keep their mind scrambled. I like my scrambled egg mind. Oh. As a friend was saying to me yesterday, you know, it's very common among schizophrenics and manic depressive, although I don't believe in those labels. They won't take their medication because they like the highs and the lows, right? And we all are addicted to that drama, the highs and the lows. It's part of the, we got to get used to compassion. We got to get used to neutrality or a state of, not true, neutrality is the right word, but get used to peace. Okay, so you have the paper and the pen, if you're going to do that. And I'll go ahead and do the process with you. Let me grab a pen here. And either out loud or on the paper, you're going to say inside or out loud, I will accept myself when. So those with pen and paper, you're writing on the paper, I will accept myself when. And then once you write that first part, I will accept myself when, you're just going to write what comes to you, right? Those of you who want to do it out loud, you'll say the whole sentence. I'll accept myself when I'll lose weight. I'll accept myself when my child is healthy. I'll accept myself when, and just see what comes up. So go ahead and do that. Keep on going. I'll accept myself when. Keep on going, even if you don't think you have anything. Just keep on going. Just write whatever comes out. Keep on going. Couple more. You can do it. Be courageous here. All right. So notice there may be some energy coming up, a heaviness. Try not to go in shame. Shame is the energy that says I am wrong or bad for having this. There's no bad in you. There's no evil in you. This is just no big deal. It's the humanity we all have. No big deal. In fact, I will even read you mine so you can see. It's like we all have this. I know my gifts and I know I'm pretty darn magnificent and I've got this crazy humanity in me. It's all right. So I accept myself when I have a mate. I am 150. I let go of all sexual barriers. I've reached 1 million people with a life-transforming work of self-acceptance. I'll accept myself when I can do a pull-up fully in CrossFit. I'll accept myself fully when I 100% accept my humanity. Now, isn't that a funny one? So you can take some of mine if you like. I forgot to put some of the little crazy nuanced ones in there. And now as you look at your craziness, just as Ilanya Van Zandt says, that we're here to love the crazy. Look at it. Look at that list and breathe. Just breathe it into your heart. That's the very part of you, sweet one, that needs love. That's the very part of you that needs love. Do you hear me? Those thoughts need some witnessing, some compassion. Those thoughts do not separate you from your magnificence, from God. You remain whole, complete, and beautiful, even with those thoughts. And you are not your thoughts. It's only a tiny part of you, a tiny part of the tree. Don't give that tiny part of the tree such power. You are more magnificent than that. Breathe those into your heart. You are more magnificent than your own, than these troubles or these fears. And creation, angels, God is more magnificent, more powerful than all of that. Breathe that into your heart one more time. And then I could take another deep, deep breath into your heart and into your body. And then make a sound on the out-breath. Any sound that wants to come out. Good. And then do that again. Good. Now notice your body again. Maybe there's more tension in your body right now. That's normal. As Bruce Lipton has shown in Biology of Belief, and of course, Candace Pert's work, that our biology holds those neuropeptides, which are emotions that have to be cleared out. So we have to clear things out, not only from the emotional, the mind, but from our physical body. And so there's some clearing that may be happening for you. And if you don't clear it from the physical body, those sensations through the body, by witnessing it and feeling it with non-judgment and non-reaction, you won't be able to ground it or embody it or be it in your life. So your body is important. All right, so just noticing those sensations and breathe. Maybe the pain's gotten a little bit more tense. Maybe you're noticing relaxation. But whatever is there, just witness and breathe, remembering that compassionate observation is love, is acceptance. Another word I love for self-acceptance is holding space, the word space of being able to let everything be there just as it is. And that when you can hold space or let everything be there just as it is, you begin to notice a greater love, a greater you, a greater element to life. So take a few more breaths, letting everything be there just as it is. And now I want you to look at that paper again, or those thoughts that you had said, I'll accept myself when, and I want you to thank them and bless them. Because all those thoughts really think that they are protecting us, keeping us safe. I know it does not make sense, but that's just how the mind works, right? So blessing and thanking all those crazy thoughts. Oh, thank you. I bless you. Let the angels bless it. Let God, let Christ bless it. Let Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, all that good juju, just bless it and thank it. Now, as you bless it and thank it, then you can let it go. You know, maybe rip it up or throw it away if you wrote it on a piece of paper. But I just wanted to be clear, not for you not to rip up something or throw it away from a place of trying to get rid of it. Because once we go into that energy, we actually bring it back into our awareness. Anything we judge, we become. Anything we push away, we actually draw to us more, right? So blessing it and thanking it, breathing it into your heart. So we're here to metabolize the fear, not transmute it or rise above it. We're here to alchemize, metabolize the ego, the personality. Too often, spirituality as well as religion is spiritually transcendent, meaning it tries to rise above humanity, the personality, the body. And I'm personally not a big fan of that because I see that creating illness, I see that creating more suffering, and people really denying themselves the intimacy, the connection that nature can provide, that their body can provide, and the deeper intimacy and relationship that is so supportive if we try to rise above. So another way of saying that is to really embrace our humanity, embrace this dynamic interactions and life that we have, rather than constantly trying to escape it.
So how you feeling? Notice your body again. All right. So I'll tell you a really cool story that happened when I got home from Europa. And I post all this on my Facebook page as well if you want to go read the stories. It's interesting, kind of a backstory. I had posted something about congratulations, I graduated. And there was a whole bunch of likes, I think a couple hundred or something. And then I posted another thing that began with, I have tears of joy. And I'm always interested in how people respond in the sense of, like, I remember a producer I was listening to on TV, he said that Hollywood can't make too positive of movies, because if they're too positive, people won't go see them. That we want the ones that are a little bit more negative. And so I've noticed when my posts that are really positive won't get as many likes, and the ones that are just kind of in the middle will get more. Yeah, something to observe. I express because it feels good. I express because I can't live any other way. And because I do know in my heart and in my bones that when you love yourself and I love me, it affects plants, it affects the natural world, it relieves suffering on the planet. I know that. I'm grateful I know that. It's something that has been spoken to me again and again in my meditations, and something that somehow I knew in my early 20s when I started my service work and began in natural health, and then, of course, shifted over to self-acceptance work or transpersonal psychology or whatever you want to call the work I do, transpersonal psychology, self-acceptance work, holistic mentoring. Oh, labels. Anyways, when I got home, I went out to my park and was running, and there's a tree that had this like mound that came out of it, and it looked like a heart. And for years now, there's these two trees actually. They're in their own space, and then they lean on each other. And these two trees represent for me autonomous interdependence. My favorite two words, actually, autonomous interdependence. Really, we don't know how to do that. It's part of why we're here on the planet, is to learn how to be in our own individual space, to trust ourselves enough, to trust ourselves. When you say you don't trust others, it's about trusting yourself. So to be in our own space, to trust ourselves, to be in our autonomous space, to be true to ourselves, and then at the same time connect into unity consciousness or interdependence. And sometimes people will try to escape to unity consciousness, right? And then other times people will be too much in autonomy, too separate, and not enough connection to spirit or God in a way that is balancing to them. So autonomous interdependence. So these two trees, they're both grounded into the earth, and yet they, at the very top, they lean next to each other. And they're my, you know, I call them my union trees, my marriage trees. And on one of them, I call the yang tree, and yang does not mean gender. It means just the masculine principles. There's a heart that bulges out. And after this huge heart opening for me in Europa and the month and a half prior, the bulge had fallen out. It doesn't happen with trees. I don't know how that even happened. You know, bulges that are created by fungus, I don't know if you know that. I didn't know that. I was curious. I did some research because I'm a nerd like that. where are these bulges coming from in trees? And they're so fungus creates that. And so a fungus, when those bulges happen, they usually just get bigger, right? You don't see them like all of a sudden fall off the trunk. So this one fell off. And I went by it, and I'm like, initially I thought, oh, my heart's open, it's open. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. But, you know, even when you hear those messages, if you don't take time to be still with them, you kind of lose their potency. So I kept on walking and walked all the way out with my doggie and came back. And my spirit's like, will you stop and, like, look at that and put your hand in it? I'm like, oh, okay, fine. And the reason why I didn't stop is because I only had an hour before my next client. I was just out there to just reset, get a nice workout in, you know. And okay, I'm like, fine. So I put my hand in it, and in that moment, I had a blissful union with creation. It was where I really knew the mind fell away, and I was all things, and all things were in me. And in that moment, about 20, 30 feet away, an owl landed, a huge brown owl. And it just sat there looking at me, and all the little forest birdies were yelling at it because they're like, go away, don't eat us. And they're all warning each other. And he just kept on looking at me, he or she, and almost like he didn't see me. And I must have sat there for like 10, 15 minutes, and I knew that I was already running late and I had to go. So when I took my hand off the tree and kind of like almost like unplugged from that awareness, because I wouldn't have been able to drive my car or really function in that state of awareness to get home, the owl saw me and then flew away. And then 2 days later, I'm on a walk at Hines Park, and a baby owl was there, a dead one. It had already transitioned. So the owls, birds really, I just want to share that with you, because I have no special magic, and if you haven't figured it out enough that my humanity is no different than your humanity, and that we all have gifts, I really do. So this connection to nature and being able to have these experiences is not special or unique to me. Please don't think that. And so much I believe that's why June 21st and 22nd, I'm going to have a workshop on, I think we just need to know how, right? A workshop on nature connection, angel connection. So connecting with the angels, connecting with the earth angels. And really that nature unity, that it comes in interdependence, but nature unity, nature connections. And that's going to be June 21st and 22nd. And I'm going to model it after one of my teachers I just started training with, where you can come for the one day on the 20th, on June 20th, or you can come for both days, the 20th or 21st. So I like when I went to his retreat, a while back, and it was pretty recent. He had it modeled that way, where you could just come to the Saturday or you can come to both, and it worked well. So that should also be up in my website, as well as if you want to sign up for now, just give me a call. June 20th to 21st, Angel and Nature Connection. And it's interesting, kind of personal note of, well, enough personal notes in here that it feels a whole bunch, but I have a stronger connection with crows than I do owls. I mean, owls are definitely a part of me, a part of my consciousness, the flexibility, the seeing all sides, the energy of wisdom. I accept that, and I like them, you know, and I have a fondness for them, but I'm not like, ooh, owls. What I'm most drawn to and feel pulled forward in my soul is crows, and I have for years. And been guided for a year now, and I finally did it. I changed my name to Barbara White Crow. And it really symbolized for me the marriage to the earth and to God for me. And I also, later on, as I finally made that decision to do that, saw that White Crow also is black and white, meaning it represents that duality that I love to dance in, the humanity and the divinity, and really bring union to that to that duality and teach from a non-dual standpoint, where teacher and student are one, or humanity and divinity are one, or, yeah, you get it. So if you're listening, do not buy me owls. Do not buy me owl cups. Crows are good. I got so much owl shit, I can't even tell you. Oh, do not send me owl links. Although all of you that have done that, I am so appreciative. I feel really loved by it. So please, please know I'm being silly here. And I do appreciate it. And my preference would be crow stuff. Just I have tons and tons of owl stuff. I can't, I love it. Like, I can't get rid of it, right? Because it's gifts. So I'm going to keep it all and appreciate it all. But I also get to have a preference or state my need to you, right? So June 20th, 21st, come out for that. And then May 30th, actually 29th and 30th, I'll be doing workshops. The 29th, I'll be at Metamorphosis. It's out in Saline, Michigan. And I'll be teaching self-acceptance and eco-psychology principles. That's from 6 to 7 p.m. And that's you can go to Metamorphosis and go to the Facebook page as well as their website. I'll be out there 6 to 7. And then the 30th, teaching a day retreat at Body Energy Fitness. And that is on the website as well as you can go to Body Energy Fitness in Taylor, Michigan. So Body Energy Fitness, Taylor, Michigan. So, all right, so we're getting towards the end here, only 8-9 minutes. I want to give you another quote by Nicole Dayton. And I've heard this from many people, but I love the way, the Western mantra, we eat too much, work too much, drink too much, yet we're still hungry. Oh, gosh. Oh, funny. And not funny, right? That's as they speak in Buddhism, they call that the hungry ghost of what she's referencing. It's an image they use of a ghost with a huge swollen belly, a little tiny throat, and a big open mouth, and about our overconsumption on the planet, of how majority of stuff that we get, we only keep for 5 years, and the overconsumption of things that we... if you've never done this process of, like, if there's something you can't seem to let go of, whether it be food or sex or overwork, you just can't seem to stop overworking or cigarettes or whatever. Mine was coffee, which has gotten better, by the way. But you begin to ask this question, which is, what am I really hungry for? You know, what am I really craving here when I'm craving this thing? And if you even just ask that question and you get the answer, like I did when I passed the tree, right? Oh, I'm really craving love, or really craving rest. Or for me, coffee was passion. It was linked in with sexual passion. I'm really craving sexual passion. It's like, oh, yeah, I know that. Right? But as you begin to sit with that message, you begin to cultivate it, you get a pen and paper out and you write around it, okay, what is love to me, or what is sexual passion to me, what is, and you begin to write these things out where you take some time to uncover them, not figure them out, right? I'm not saying you're fixing things. That's a totally different intent. You explore your own growth from a state of adventure, state of curiousness, right? Completely different intent. You hear me, Cookie? I love calling people cookies because I love cookies, even though I don't eat them. I've been on a no sugar cleanse for a couple weeks now, and never done that. That's quite a great way to reset your body. I needed to after studying for the masters, and then I gave a retreat at the state. I do know what I was thinking. I couldn't get a different date in May, and the retreat was so spectacular. Oh my God, the ladies were amazing. We did some amazing work with the nature fairies there at Howell Nature Center. We did incredible work with learning to really come into a deeper supportive connection with themselves and with being able to listen and hear the messages from the earth and from the planet. I mean, the women just did amazing work. Had the follow-up for that retreat, I think, last week. Yeah, some great feedback of how it affected people and how it helped them. I'm really grateful for all the people that I'm really appreciative of those that came out and did that work. It's intense work as well as really supportive work. But my retreats are intense. I don't mess around, you know. I take a lighthearted view, but I really ask people to do some serious work as I do in sessions. So if you ever feel drawn to be mentored by me, or I'm a pretty hardcore teacher, meaning I come with deep gentleness and compassion, but an incredible fierceness. And if you're not ready to grow or look at stuff, I'm not the person for you. Or if you want to stay in your story and continue to not really stay, because therapy is very important. You get your story, but traditional therapy is more about behavioral changes, right? It's about changing the thoughts and managing things. And my work, it's about transpersonal, means it's shifting your identity. It's shedding the limited self-identities. Different approach. And not from a place of being spiritually transcendent, trying to rise above and doing transformation. No. It's about doing some really important discipline, as my teacher calls it, Beckles. You are doing the daily mindful growth practices and picking up that weight every day. And when you come in, not only do I help you clear years of stuff, and yes, years of karma, I can help you with that. The angels do that. However, I ask people to do some really incredible work. And if you're not ready, or you need to kind of know your story more, or you really just need help managing things, that's okay. No judgment. Every part of, all of it is important. So, but the main thing I think today I want you to, as I finish up here, is to accept yourself now, relax now, and open to love now, and be willing to let yourself be loved, be willing to see things differently. And if you can hold that willingness even for one day, things will open up for you. All right, sweetness. You can go to my website, acceptedasiam.com. You can Facebook me, Barbara White 1. I don't have the crow in there yet. I don't think I'm going to change it, just because I think I'd have to make a whole new Facebook page. And you can also call me here at 734-455-1438. And the last thing I ask of you, you that's listening, please pass on this resource, this show, Accepted As I Am show, pass it on to two or three people, please. And let them know about this incredible resource of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. It needs to reach more people. All right. Have a wonderful day. Look forward to hearing from you. Take care.